We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. For those of you that cook, have you ever used sanctified salt? You know, you're making taco meat or something, and you ever used sanctified salt or sanctified chili powder? Anybody ever used sanctified cumin? All right. We'll get to that in a minute. There are many rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as born-again believers that we read about in the church epistles. One of those is sanctification. And sanctification, it's one of those words that sounds spiritual, maybe. It's got a holy word, sanctified. But if we don't understand what it means, then how much value will we have for it? Yes, I'm sanctified. What does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." So right there with righteousness and redemption, we have sanctification. In chapter 6 of this same epistle, chapter 6, verse 11, after talking about ugly stuff, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We are sanctified. And as a matter of fact, if you go to chapter 1 of this epistle, the opening of this, chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." The word sanctified means to be set apart. But it's more than that. It means to be set apart for a purpose. For a purpose. Brought a little prop. This is a half teaspoon measuring. So if you were doing something that called for a half teaspoon of salt, you get your salt and you'd measure it out. Sometimes they put it in a little container and then, oh, I need 2 teaspoons of cumin. So put that, measure it out. What was the other one? Chili powder. Okay, so I need a little chili powder. What I've taken from the salt or the chili powder or the cumin, it's now what? It's set apart from the rest of the salt, the rest of the cumin, the rest of the chili powder. It's set apart to just sit there?
No.
It's set apart for a purpose. And that's what sanctified means. And those ingredients, they're sanctified. We don't say that. I'm cooking today. I've sanctified some salt. But just so we can understand the scriptures, that's what sanctified means. Set apart from the rest. God has set each one of us as born-again believers apart from all those who are not born-again believers for a purpose. To be his children. To live for him and to enjoy the blessings that he has for his children. There are, in the Bible, there are a number of things and people who were called sanctified, like Sabbath. The Sabbath day, the Bible says, was sanctified. It was set apart from all the rest of the days for a purpose. The priests were sanctified, set apart from the rest of the people for a specific purpose. God said we are sanctified. We are set apart from the rest for a purpose. Look at Ephesians 5. It's interesting that it comes up here in this section in Ephesians 5, which is talking about the marriage relationship as a comparison to the mystery. Only God could figure out how to put all that together. But we'll read a part of it. In verse 25 of Ephesians 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Holy is also sanctified there. Christ separating or setting the church apart, the born-again ones, is like a man would set apart or separate his wife from the rest of the women for the purpose of the marriage. Just like a wife is separated from all other women for the purpose of the marriage, the church, born-again ones, all those who are born again are sanctified, set apart from all those who are not born again, so that we could enjoy being God's children and enjoy the blessings that God has given us. We're separated. Does that make sense? Go to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at the other side of this coin. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the other side of the coin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Yoked. We don't see this today because we have modern machinery and all that. But the yoke, you know, you have two oxen with what they harnessed them. It's called a yoke. So the one ox or cow or whatever it was can't go, "Wow, that looks cool over there. I think I'll go over." No, you're there. You're yoked. You can't get separated. So God says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Well, if God's already separated us out, why did God say, "Come out from among them and be separate"? I thought he already separated us. Well, verse 1 of chapter 7, we'll keep reading. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear or reverence of God." Holiness there is sanctification. Perfecting or maintaining our sanctification. And this, of course, pertains to our walk with and for God. We're already sanctified. We're already set apart by God. But in our walk, how we live our lives, our conduct, we're to set ourselves apart from that which is contrary to what God's word says. So let's consider for a moment Jesus Christ, John chapter 10. Because we find in the Gospels that Jesus Christ was sanctified. John chapter 10, verse, towards the end of the chapter, verse 31. Well, verse 30, Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews, verse 31, took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father, for which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makes yourself God. Really? Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Doesn't it say in the scriptures that God said, you are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified, what? The Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemes, because I said I'm the Son of God? You're calling that blasphemy? But note very carefully there in verse, well, let's keep reading. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And the Father was in him by way of the Spirit of God in him. But over in verse 36, he talked about being sanctified. God sanctified Jesus Christ. God separated that man from all other human beings for the purpose of accomplishing mankind's salvation and redemption. That's what he was sanctified for. And in chapter 17 of John, which the whole chapter is a prayer that Jesus Christ prayed shortly before he was arrested, John 17, we won't read all of it, but let's start in verse 14. Jesus Christ was praying to his Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, or from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. God sanctified Jesus Christ, set him apart for a purpose. And Jesus Christ said, I sanctify myself. By his own free will, he sanctified himself. He set himself apart from anything that was contrary to God's word. But Jesus Christ didn't isolate himself, did he? He ate with sinners. Remember, they said, he's eating with sinners. He didn't isolate himself from the world, but he set himself apart from anything that would be contrary to God's word in his walk with and for God. So we read in Corinthians that we are sanctified. We are set apart as God's children. And then God tells us to maintain or perfect that sanctification, and we do that in our walk, reverencing him. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6 again. 1 Corinthians 6. Sometimes the free will of Jesus Christ is overlooked. That he was a human being, he was a man. He chose what to think, just like we have the privilege of choosing what to think. Except he did it perfectly. Set the bar pretty high for us, didn't he? So we read this earlier, but let's just read it again. 6:11, 1 Corinthians. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now it says in verse 12, this is interesting. All things are lawful unto me. Why? Because we are no longer under the law. Christ is the end of the law for them that believe. We are not under the Old Testament law. All things are lawful unto me, But all things are not expedient or profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So we have the great freedom. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. So we should maintain our sanctification by walking to the best of our ability according to what we know from God's word. Jesus Christ, by his free will, sanctified himself from the evils of the world. And it was a deliberate free will decision for him. Could you sit down and have lunch with somebody who's a drug addict? Sure. You don't join in his habits, right? See, we have the freedom to go, to do, but we still sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart from that which is contrary to the things of the world, the evil of the world. We don't participate. We don't share fully in that. What, you know, whether it's people or what the culture promotes, we sanctify ourselves. We reverence God by maintaining or perfecting our sanctification, setting ourselves apart. And you know, God knows we're living in this evil world. Jesus Christ prayed for God to keep those who believe in him from the evil one, right? Sanctify them through thy truth. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Sanctification, it's one of our wonderful rights, privileges, abilities that we have in the new birth. But if we don't understand what it is, then it's just something we mention. Yes, I'm sanctified. It's like righteous. To not fully understand what it means to be righteous, you can say, yes, I'm righteous. What does that mean? Sounds good. I'm holy or something, I guess. You know, taking the time to see what God's word says and means gives us greater understanding. Chapter 2, verse 6 of Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So it's talking about our walk. Then it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, the right way of believing, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Why? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to get rooted? Why do I have to get built up? Why do I have to get established? I'm born again. I have eternal life. I will not be in the judgments. I'm going to be in the gathering together. Why do I got to do this? Well, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. Spoil there means to lead astray. Beware lest any man, any woman, any person lead you away through philosophy and vain deceit. Beware. Have your eyes open and your thoughts clear. That's why we get rooted and grounded and established. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ said, take heed that no man deceive you. There is an enemy in this world, a very real enemy. If you wonder sometimes why we see so much godlessness, is that a word, godlessness? If you wonder why there's so much ungodly things going on, there was a Gallup poll last year. I think they do this every spring, so the spring of 2024 is not out yet, but this was from 2023. Belief in God, Satan, angels, heaven, and hell is at a 23-year low in America. 74% believe in God compared to 90% in 2001. That's the greatest decline in that study. 58% believe in Satan. That's down from 68%. So almost half of Americans don't believe in Satan. Isn't that interesting? It just shows there's a great lack of understanding of God's word and a lack of believing it. And really, far too many Christians either don't know or don't believe that there is a real spiritual enemy. But you know, God's word's pretty clear. God's word in many places defines our enemy as a liar, a thief, a murderer, a tempter, a deceiver. And here God says, beware, beware. And we do that as parents, right? We tell our children, don't take ride from strangers, right? Don't take candy from strangers. Or we could just say, the world is evil. You can't go outside the door. You're going to stay here in this house for the rest of your life because there's evil out there. No, we teach them, right? Beware of, don't take ride from strangers. When we go camping, we would teach our children to watch out for poison ivy. There's poison ivy out there. There's this out. Or we could say, we can never go camping because there's bad things out there. But we teach them, beware of this, beware of that. God has revealed a lot of information in his word about our adversary. I'm very grateful for the Walking in God's Power advanced class where we really get into some depth in the scriptures on that topic. But go to chapter 6 of Ephesians. If we're going to maintain our sanctification as God would have us to do, then we need to be not ignorant of an adversary out there. And I know this section's familiar. 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We get that from understanding God's word. Why? Because verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You don't need to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 11, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So God wants us to be smart, be sharp, beware, have your eyes open. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're sanctified. Yes, we are set apart. We belong to God for a purpose, to live for him and to enjoy the blessings that he has for us. Our enemy cannot do anything about us having salvation and eternal life, being born again, having God's gift of Holy Spirit. That's settled. It's permanent. It's done. Until Christ comes back, he doesn't want us to enjoy the life that is available to us through God's wonderful promises for us. So, we be smart. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, oh, it's personal, all right. It's not the adversary or so. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Our adversary, very real, very evil too. Remember Jesus Christ said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. That's his MO, it hadn't changed. But we're certainly not helpless. It says resist in the faith, the right way of believing. How can you resist in the right way of believing if you don't know the right way of believing? In James chapter 4. Back up just a bit. James 4. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ did when we read about the temptations? And how did Jesus Christ resist? He didn't say, stop trying to tempt me. Get away from Leah. That's not fair. It was with the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah, and then the devil said, yeah, but it's also written this. Why don't you jump off the cliff? Because it's written that it is written again. That's how he resisted. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. God told us in Peter, we just read it, be steadfast in the right way of believing. In Ephesians, we just read it, taking the shield of believing wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And here it says, resist and he'll flee from you. That's beautiful, isn't it? See, we don't focus on everything that we see and hear that the adversary's doing. That's not perfecting or maintaining our sanctification. We focus on how good our God is, his love, his power, his deliverance, his word. The word, well, look at the next verse. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw nigh unto God. How do I draw nigh unto God? By thinking of who he is, what he does, his love, his power, his deliverance. That is perfecting our sanctification. We're going to close in Romans chapter 12. You know, so the next time you think about, yes, I'm righteous, I'm redeemed, I'm sanctified. Yep, I'm set apart for a purpose. For a purpose. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be fashioned by this world or this age that we're living in. Don't let the times we're living in fashion you, talk you into accepting or believing something that's contrary to God's word. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And renewing the mind is not changing your mind. I guess I'll go do the yard work. I've renewed my mind to do yard work. That's not biblically accurate. That's changing your mind to go do the yard work. Renewing the mind is putting into the mind who God says you are, what God says you have, and what God says you can do. And nobody can do that for you. It's a deliberate process. And why? Why would we want to do it? For what purpose? It says that you may prove. We're in verse 2, that you may prove, which is that word that's used for testing metals to see if it's, you know, genuine gold or whatever, it's a testing, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Without a right understanding of God's word, it's very easy to be fashioned by this age. easy to be deceived, easy to say, well, that's okay. You know, that's all right. For me, God knows my heart, actually. God knows I'm this, so that'll be okay. We come up with our own rules and regulations to fit us. The foundation for sanctifying ourselves, for separating ourselves from all the junk, is renewing the mind and putting into our minds who we are, what we have, and what we can do. Putting into our minds the truth that God has revealed in His Word. And that's a free will decision that's up to each one of us to do. So in that taco meat recipe that we were doing, we had three ingredients going with the meat. I don't know how good it's going to be because I'm not a good cook. But we were talking about salt, cumin, and chili powder. So we separated them out, right? They're now separated. They're sanctified, set apart from the rest of the stuff. But what good are they sanctified if they just sit there and never make it into the meat? Set apart for a purpose. So, be followers of God as dear children. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be especially good to the household of faith. Be kind, tender-hearted one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Love one another. Pray for one another. Pray in the Spirit and pray with the understanding. Be giving. Speak the truth in love. Put on the whole armor of God. Manifest, operate the Spirit of God that's in you. Being sanctified is one of the wonderful things that God did for each one of us. We, each one of us, are set apart. And God said, you belong to me. We are His dear children. And the Word of God says nothing can ever separate us from His love. We can go out and just be total jackasses, and He still loves us. He separated us out, and that's eternal life. And now we, in turn, we're set apart for a purpose. We love Him, we walk for Him, and we enjoy the blessings that He has for us since we are separated ones. In thanksgiving and reverencing God, like Jesus Christ did, we in turn sanctify ourselves. We choose to separate ourselves from that which is contrary to God's word. And I'd like to close by reading Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Working Translation. Therefore, brothers, I exhort you by the compassion of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy or sanctified, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. Do not be fashioned by this age, but be transfigured by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that makes things plain to us, that explains things to us, and Father, that inspires and encourages us to walk with and for you. Thank you for the great salvation and redemption that we have and all the rights and privileges that you've given us freely. Nothing we've earned or deserved, you just gave it to us. Thank you that we are set apart, and that, Father, we're set apart for a purpose, and may we just live our lives to the best of our abilities to live for you, according to what your word says and not what this age says. Father, I thank you for the privilege of teaching this morning. I ask you to bless everyone here in this room, those on the hookup, and those that may hear the recording later. Thank you, Father, for your love for each one of us. May we have a blessed week enjoying your presence in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.